Brother Simon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I want to introduce a friend. But first, you know, today's gospel was part about the power of evil and Christ's victory over evil. I want us to remember that there's a lot of evil in the world today. We can think about the Ukraine, Israel and Palestine, and all the mass shootings, especially what just happened in Maine. Father Simon knows war. He grew up in war, a place where, and I put a little flyer in the bulletin, where people were killed. Siblings, friends, deported, children were made soldiers, and he grew up in all that. Father Simon is a graduate of St. Vladimir's Seminary, so he's an excellent priest. And, you know, I asked him a question. I said to him on the phone, I said, Father Simon, you know, in the third world, that they will not send clergy to the first world, because a lot of times the clergy won't go back because they find the comforts of prosperity, and it's kind of hard to go back. Father Simon said to me, his heart burned for the people. His heart burned for the gospel. He could not even think of not going back and preaching the gospel and doing the work of the gospel. Preaching the gospel's, you know, what we do here, about the lives that we live, but doing the work of the gospel is what he's done also. Set up a medical clinic, had wells drilled, started farms to support the church, to take care of people, to help people. And he's done this only just a few years. He planted a church underneath a mango tree, and now they have their own church building by the grace of God that's bigger than ours, according to the pictures, okay? So he's baptized well over 100 people. So I asked Father Simon, to please say a few words to us about the next steps. And I'm glad to have him with us. Thank you, Father Simon.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're good.
This morning, it's a very joyful morning for me to reunite with you again in this beautiful liturgy, in a beautiful weather, just like home. So you just know that I'm feeling home. The gospel of today speaks to me in very many ways. It relates to my situation in more than two or three ways. The first way is, as Father Ted put it, the war. The second way is, we are keeping pigs. The third way is the effect of the war and people seeking Christ, and they need healing. And all of these, we are dealing with it back home. One day when I returned back home, we started praying under the mango tree, doing a liturgy under the mango tree. And a young boy stood up, and he started running around us. He was not mentally disturbed. He didn't have that before. But he was spiritually evil. He had evil spirit in him. And then at that moment, I asked myself, I was just ordained. I didn't know what to do as a priest. What do I do? I'm serving a liturgy, and then this boy is running around us. I had to leave the liturgy and came with a censor. I asked the altar boy to bring the censor. I started sensing him while praying. That is not a prayer where you say, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. It's a real prayer. I was evangelical pastor for a few minutes. So we prayed until he sat down, and then we carried him and brought him next to our altar, outside under the mango tree, and we continued with our liturgy. This relate to me how this beautiful sermon today actually speaks to me and to you probably, how Christ bring all of us, how Christ does not segregate, how Christ take everybody, a messed up person, unclean person, a clean person, an organized person, and brings all of us and put him next to his feet and let us sit next by him. This relate to me this way. This boy didn't left the church, but he became my altar boy, and every Sunday is the first person in the church and is always in the altar. Christ always called us to do his work. He let us sit with him, and then he sent us out to do his work, to proclaim the gospel as we hear in Matthew 28:19-20. OCMC got this very right in their work. Go therefore in all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation. When I came here to the seminary in the United States, as Father Ted put it, there was a lot of temptation. A lot of temptation. So many people offered for me places to stay. And some people even offered churches to serve in. But I knew why I came to the U.S. I came because of my people. So when I returned back after seminary, after visiting you here, the support that we got from this church was the first church to give me the support for my ministry. I have to confess this. We started right away the pig farm drive. We made proposal, we started the actual work. And today, with the gospel talking about the pig farm, I would like to mention also that we have 20 piglets in our farm today as I speak. Our plan is to raise the 20 piglets, fatten 15 male, keep 5 male, keep 5 female, sell the other male, get a return. Then get the 5 female to have more piglets. When we get more piglets, then we can give each piglet to one of the widows in the community. One each to each widows in the community, because during the war there are so many orphans and widows in my community. Then they raise the pig, and then we shall find a market for them, sell the pig, and give the money to them to get started with life. So they can have money to send the children to school, they can have money for medical treatment, and they can have money to buy food. We are doing also farming. We give plots of land to families and to these widows who can farm. And when they farm, 10% of what they get from the production, they bring it to the church. So we have members in the church, the committees, that goes to the market, take the product to the market, sell it, and that is the money we are using to buy candles, to buy wine, to buy yeast, and we have liturgy every Sunday in my community for the people. The rest of the 90%, they use it for their own need, personal need, medical, food, school fees. When I returned back, it was not easy, just doing the real gospel. We gathered people under the mango tree. This is a community which was not blessed because it was where the homes of the rebel leader was, Joseph Kony. So under the mango tree, there was a mark of cement where he was living there. And we turned the place and built a church in that place now. We started by teaching the people using the children's books. Who is your neighbor? Who is God? Who is Christ? Why should you love one another? And then eventually it led to baptism of 125 people last year. Bishop came and we did the baptism in the river for 125 because I couldn't do it alone. 125. I have experience though making bricks, but it's a different experience doing the baptism. So many some priests and His Grace Bishop Nectarios came down and we did the baptism. Again, this year, we did a baptism for another 33 more people in my community. So we are growing, we are expanding the word of God. I have 70 children in my community. Most of them are orphans. And 35 of them, we sponsor them to go to school because they cannot afford writing materials at school. So we are supporting 35 to go to school. The other 35 do not go to school. And this is why we would like to have a school and start under the mango tree next year. So we could hire a teacher who will come and teach the children under the mango tree. They will start by writing on the ground. This is what I grew up doing, writing on the ground. And the teachers would use a stick to mark the answer. The same stick they will use for beating the student if they fail. So you cannot go wrong with using the stick, marking the answer and also. So this is our next plan. We have a clinic. This place is 33 kilometers away from the town, but it takes me 1.5 hours to get there. I tell people, the size of the potholes on the road to my community is really deep. And if you go with your car, a small car, you drive through the pothole, you better go fast. Because otherwise people will come very fast and put the dirt, the soil around your car and thank you for building for them a bridge. That's the size of the potholes. It's really bad. 2 weeks ago before I came, a dump truck overturned and people pushed it until it got up. They tied a rope on the other end and other people were pulling. Everyone were busy. On the other side, people were pushing. So the road is terrible bad, but because of that, since 2019 until date, we lost 3 pregnant women to get from my community to go to town to access medical help. Because the delivery pain started at night for 2 ladies. And then they could not make it to town because they were walking on this bad road and in this distance and it is raining. So 3 of them did not make it since 2019. Because of that, we built a small clinic in my village that is serving 10 villages. There's no health facility. And it's treating mostly malaria, typhoid, and ulcers. In the 5 months of the operation of the clinic, it has served over 2,000 cases of these 3 diseases. We have a nurse who is an orthodox, and we charge a little fee, so it would be enough for us to restock the medicine in the clinic. This is how we are trying to help the people and do our work under the self-sustaining program, the initiative that I started when I returned by registering an organization called non-profit called Northern Uganda Self-Sufficiency Project. And we got a blessing for that, and it is operating very well. And Bishop always come to my community and visit these places and bless us. So we are trying to do something. We have the pig farm, we have the clinic, we have a library. So we are teaching now the children to learn to read. Whoever comes to Uganda, I tell them, do not worry about keeping your money. Just keep your money between the books. Nobody will open it. So your money will be safe between the books because no one will bother to open it. So we want to change this story by encouraging the young children to read. And we have this library in the corner of the clinic. We are sharing this space. So people are happy. We are bringing healing to the people. People come to the church and they feel joy and hope. They have hope now. They were so scared. When they returned back, they collected 2 sacks of bullets in that area. And then there were bombs stuck on the trees and landmine plotted. And people were so scared to even do the farming. So with our connection, we had to collaborate with the government, and they sent specialists and they removed all this. So people are now free. I have a board in Uganda, and my board have the president of the district is on my board. So it makes work easier when it comes to the government side. I have a doctor, I have a nurse, I have a teacher, and then I have agriculturist, a person who graduated from Gulu University. And then we have a businessman, and then an accountant and a bank account. So everything goes to the bank account, and there are committees that sign the check and get the money and do the work. We are trying. We ask for your prayers. And with the gospel of today, sometimes people feel that their problems, their challenges in life, the despair, the frustration, a lot of work, a lot of things to do, a lot of bills to pay off, always bring people down. It is too demanding in life. It is too demanding in my area for food, for clean water. People drink from the river. It is too demanding for people returning back after the war to their community to get started in life and make money to send their children to school. This is all over. Even here, people have different challenges in life. But I always tell people that our challenges look to us as big as a ship in the ocean. A ship is very big. That is how we look at our challenges. But God, who is so generous, God who is so loving, give us a solution that is as big as an ocean. So what do we need today? We only need to come to God and sit near his feet, and he would have solution for our challenges. He would send us out to do his work. We would have become his apostle. Think about this. What really makes you to get out of your house in the morning and leave enjoying the nice sleep on a weekend and come to church? Christ is the one calling you to come to church, and we have to be here because he's here for us. He's here in our lives. He's here in all the steps that we make to move forward with life. So he's with us, and he will always be with us. Sometimes we feel like it's too much. It's too much. A lot of temptation. A lot of things happening around the world, the war. Why should somebody fight one another? We have to pray and hope on the Lord because he never leaves us. He never leaves us. Whether we are in a good time or bad time, he's always with us, and he always goes with us everywhere. So may Christ, who is so loving, who is so caring, who called this man who is messed up, who called this man who is unclean, who called all of us who are clean, who are very organized to be with him, be with us and always bless us and always encourage us and always protect us and save us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.